So I love that song. I first heard it from Faith Rivera. And it so reminds me of my own childhood growing up, because I was a granddaughter of a Baptist preacher. So we spent a whole lot of time in church. And so those lines were just so beautiful. But I do remember, even as a small child, thinking how holy everything was. So, and it still is. So I'm sort of choked up. Forgive me. Yeah. And Amazing Grace. What a beautiful, beautiful song. And the way you did it was so beautiful. You really moved me. Yeah. Are you all moved?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. So it's Palm Sunday. High fives. Palm Sunday. Get it? There they are. All right, girl. We have one participant in the holy day. I was speaking with the staff and some other folks, and I started, you know, talking about Easter and Palm Sunday, and they was talking about having the palms, you know, and how that all happens, and they're going, "What's Palm Sunday?" So it's not something you do a lot of. So would you like to know why we celebrate Palm Sunday?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. So it is the beginning of Holy Week for those that follow the Christian tradition. And in Unity, we do. We follow the Christian tradition as well as others. But Easter and Christmas, we get to talk about Jesus. Yes? All right. It's that Baptist minister granddaughter in me, you know, that just like, we're going there. So Jesus had his most amazing miracles just before Holy Week. There was the raising of Lazarus. There was hundreds of physical healings happening. And so that he was fulfilling the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. So he asked his disciples to go find a donkey and a colt, so that he could ride into the city of Jerusalem. And so that's what he did, and that was also in the prophecy. So the idea was that with reverence to this Messiah, this holy man, they put out their cloaks, but also they waved palms. Remember, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest? Yes? Some of you, come on now. Yeah. So I do remember a story about a family who had attended the Palm Sunday, and they went home, and one of their children was sick. So she was at home, and they came home with these palms, and she said, "Well, what's that for?" And they said, "Well, people hold them over Jesus' head as he walked by." And she said, "You mean the one and only Sunday I'm not there, Jesus showed up?" So good. So, according to traditional Christian doctrine, Jesus really willingly took this journey to save humanity from the consequences of its sinful ways. This is a tradition. According to this interpretation, Jesus' death is seen as really no less than the supreme purpose of his life, that he died to save us from his sins. Some of you remember that? Yeah. So that's not a doctrine that unity that we really speak about or embrace. At unity, we look at the same facts through a different set of lens of understanding. And we come up with really a radical different interpretation. So we believe that the supreme purpose of Jesus' life was to realize and demonstrate a relationship with God that transformed him at depth. So you can see why I love the word transformation, right? It's all about, really, this journey that we are on. So his success in overcoming the world of appearances as a man who realized a complete oneness with God. So he had a full realization of his divinity. Yes?
Yes.
And so he is our way-shower. He is our master teacher. And he is not the great exception, but the great example. Yes?
Yes.
Right. So that's just a little bit of distinction about what we might have grown up with. So his life was to realize and demonstrate a relationship with God that transformed him, not a sacrifice. And he said, these things you do, I do, you shall do also. Yes. Christ in you, your hope of glory. There's a lot of things that point to these ideas that we're talking about. So I believe that if Jesus were here today, he would tell us the only way out of any worldly condition is through it. So he willingly came into the city of Jerusalem knowing what was ahead of him. What were you thinking? But he also knew that we, through life's experiences, that we transform. That whatever is before me is for me. How many times have I said that? 150 times. That's right. Bring it. So he knew that this was his destiny. He knew that this was what was to happen next, was to show the world, I'm not a body. And so what we know about all these beautiful master teachers that have come and those that have tried to crush this light, to eliminate this truth, is that when you try to destroy the container, it just expands. Right? Yeah, that you cannot kill the light. You cannot destroy the essence of who and what we really are. And the same is true for us. Some of us try to do that personally through different addictions or sabotaging. And I actually said that to a young man who was, I was at that time sober, 10 years maybe. And he was experimenting with all those things in a very dangerous way. And I was able to share with him, you know, an idea that came through me that just said, you know, there's nothing you can do to destroy the essence of who you really are. You will only postpone your awareness to your own magnificence. Yeah. Write that down, yeah. Right? So I did, you know. Yeah, that's really good. And that's how God works through us, right? When we are a channel for its expression. When we really get why we're here, that we are the divine expression waiting to unfold its magnificence. And for us, personally, to get it out of its way. Remember when the eye of the storm that we said, I'm either in the way of God or I'm the way of God. I want to be the way of God. You too? Yes? Yes, yes. Well, the other thing I know for sure is that we are all on a hero's journey. Yes?
Yes.
Come on, you're going to have to say it a whole lot today. This is my last time, and I just have to hear it over and over. So answering the call to the hero's journey, answering the call. Joseph Campbell was a mystic teacher that many of you know about, teaching Greek mythology, and he talked a lot about the hero's journey. And he said this, he said, we need not even to risk the adventure alone, for all the heroes of all time have gone before us. the labyrinth is thoroughly known. We only need to follow the thread of the hero's path. And where you have thought to find an abomination, you shall find a god. And where you had thought to slay another, you shall slay yourself. And where you had thought to travel outward, you shall come to the center of your own existence. And where you had thought to be alone, you shall be with all of the world. Isn't it good?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. This is our hero's journey that we are all on, that we are all answering the call that Spirit has for us. A call to leave the old life, the old way of being, the old ideas. Lynn Twist said a line I keep repeating that I love, we're hospicing the old and midwifing the new. Isn't that beautiful? So, and we're doing that now globally. It may not look like it, but it's happening. We're hospicing the old concept, the old paradigm thinking of separation and lack and limitation, and moving into a new paradigm. And sometimes there's a lot of turmoil in that shift. And it may not happen overnight, but it is happening. So we are on a journey of awakening. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
It's such good news. You know, all throughout the Bible, they have these great answering the call. There was Moses, you know, in the burning bush, and he got God, I am that I am, has sent me to this now moment to be the voice. And Moses didn't want to be the voice, did he? He said, surely there's somebody else that could do this a whole lot better than me, God, because, you know, I stutter. You know, I don't think I could do this. But he was chosen. Just like you and I. I mean, we may think that there's something that's going to keep us from really being who we've come here to be. But it is an illusion that we've made up. That God has called us here to be a great expression. So there's many stories in the book of the Bible. Do you know what that is? Yeah. Yeah, somebody said, don't tell me how it ends. I haven't finished it. Okay, I won't spoil it. But as Larry and I were preparing for a ministerial school, we, 1989, how many years? I don't know. 18 years. I showed up at a Unity ministry just about 8 months sober and just awakening and enjoying life and seeing it so differently. And I walked into a Unity church for a memorial for a friend whose baby daughter had died unexpectedly. And I was crying throughout this entire service because, first of all, I was grieving for the loss of this baby. But secondly, I was hearing words and ideas of a God of my knowing and the people, you know, that I knew I was connected to. So it was a coming home experience of really hearing the truth for the first time. But it resonated in my body, and it continued to invite me into crying for a year. I would show up, and I would just cry. And it wasn't sadness. It was a cleansing of the old. I was hospicing the old Denise, of the old way I thought, the old way of being, and midwifing a whole new person. And I, pretty soon, Larry and I both sort of answered the call. We had this divine discontent, we called it. You know, our life externally looked really, really good. But there was something missing for us, and we began to get involved in Unity and pretty early on knew that we were going to go to ministerial school. Well, I did. I knew I could see Larry there really easily. I had a little more trouble with me. I was going to be the support person. You know we're going to go do this, and I'm going to go support, you know. But I grew up, you know, as a granddaughter of a Baptist preacher. So I saw that, and I saw my grandmother being the minister's wife. So I think I was more afraid to be a minister's wife than a minister. I think I better go do the ministry. Because I know I can't play that role. Right? Not the most lofty thing, but it's one of the things that sort of got me moving. But what I discovered was in that faith, in that tradition, they don't see women as ministers. And they still don't, unfortunately. But what happened was I arrived at the Unity Village, and one of the first things I decided to do, I hadn't taken any classes. I just knew we were going to do this big time. And so I said, well, I guess I should learn how to pray out loud. It's a good thing a minister should do, right? So I, you know, enrolled in some classes, but very quickly I got invited to do the opening prayer for the next graduating class. And I was taken back, and I was baffled. Why would they pick me? I'm brand new. I just got here. And I kept the Moses thing. No, I'm sure there's someone else that could do this a whole lot better, you know. But she saw something in me, and so what happened was my ego became so enwrapped in the belief system of not being enough and that women should not be up there, blah, blah, blah. Unbeknownst to me, right, it's an unconscious happening. It wrapped around my vocal cords and I couldn't speak. So I called her to let her know, thank you for the invitation, but I'm just not able to do it. So the moment I called her, you know, I said, hi, this is Denise. She went into this dissertation of how excited she was that I was coming and this is going to be a wonderful thing. And I can't wait. It's just the perfect thing. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm just sitting there listening. And I'm getting ready to say, I can't come. And what comes out of my mouth is, okay, see you tomorrow. You know, what could I do, right? So I showed up, and there's a microphone, and I, you know, shaking, my knees are shaking and wobbling, and I'm like, well, in Unity, we see everything as an opportunity, so I'm here to give you an opportunity to listen to my still, small voice, you know. And I went on and did the prayer, and it was fine. But something happened in that experience, that I broke through that shadow belief that I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or a woman shouldn't be in that role. And something cracked open. And I was able to, you know, move into ministry, still shaking my knees. But what happened was something beautiful. My father passed about 10 years ago, and he was the son of a Baptist minister. So he was very ingrained in that tradition and that theology. So for him, when I decided to become a Unity minister, that was very hard for him. And in fact, it was so hard he couldn't tell his family. He was so ashamed. Yeah. So I said I had to live with that, you know, and I did my work and I did my forgiveness. And when he passed, of course, we had the Baptist minister do the memorial service. But we had two other services to spread his ashes. And I asked to do one of them. And so I was allowed, you know, by my family. And it was a wonderful experience of me being in the role as a minister and spreading ashes in the ocean. He and I love the ocean. He taught me to sail. So it was very sweet and wonderful. And something happened there as well. You know, almost as though it was a gift from him to say, I know who you are. This is who you are. And it was the first time his family got to see me in that role. So I got to heal. I got to move forward. And that's the hero's journey, is to know that it may not be easy. It may not be comfortable. And it may challenge you to the very core of your soul. But it's yours to do, yes? Yes, that we never know what will come from that. We never know, but what we do when we break through those old beliefs that hold us back, we create a new neural pathway in the brain that says yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That I'm here to do something magnificent. I'm here to be an expression of the divine. No matter, even if the vocal cords get wrapped up, no matter what the ego does to try to sabotage, nothing can keep me from my good. Yes?
Yes.
My husband, who's so funny, you'll have to come see him sometime in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, let's take a, yeah. Well, no, you can't do that. Yeah, I was going to say take a field trip, but not on a Sunday, because Reverend Christian would have my head. Don't. But he said something, that I love, that I still use, this whole idea of the Easter, that as we embody who we've really come here to be, nothing can keep us from expressing our good. Nothing can keep a God man down. Nothing can keep a God woman down, right? So it's about acknowledging that, expressing that, and claiming that. So that's what we're here to do. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think we have it in words, right? Okay. So I'm going to read them to you. So I'm going to say the whole thing, and then we'll say it together. Maybe we'll do it in phrases. Shall we? Okay. Okay, the first phrase is, I answer the call to the hero's journey. I answer the call to the hero's journey and say yes.
And say yes.
Because Spirit's assurance is, I will be with you always.
I will be with you always.
I will be with you always. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This is our journey. This is our journey. And we are now entering in to the Holy Week, knowing that something may come that will try to keep us down or destroy who we might be. But with God, all things are possible. And that God's promise is, I will be with you always, all the way through, all the way to the end. And that you have been gifted with all the necessary ingredients for you to fulfill your divine destiny of knowing your full birthright, that you are a Christed being. Yes?
Yes.
And there's nothing that could keep you from knowing that or expressing that other than you. Let's pray. So, beloved presence, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for these truths that set us free. We willingly enter into this hero's journey, knowing that whatever is before us is for us, that there is something magnificent here. And so we surrender our will to yours. We trust and know that you are with us every step of the way. And for that, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you so much for having me these last 6 months. It's been my joy, my blessing. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.